This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. What is the biblical truth concerning illegal aliens, especially in America and the countries of the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada? God mentions all these nations by a different name in the Bible. A major biblical truth that you need to understand is this. The Jews, although they claim to be all 12 tribes of the children of Israel, constitute only one tribe. It would be like having someone die and then one brother steal all the inheritance from everybody else. They claim that the 10 tribes were absorbed into the Gentiles and hence disappeared. That is not true. They migrated to Western Europe, to England, and to America. And they have upon them the blessing that the Jews do not have. Let's go back here to Genesis 49. Now, I encourage you to read Genesis 12, Genesis 17, and then come here to Genesis 48. And here's a blessing that doesn't fit the Jews at all. Think about the Jews. They barely have a little piece of real estate in what used to be the Holy Land. And the promise given to Abraham that out of his offspring, Isaac, would come kings and a multitude of nations and peoples. Now, the Jews are neither. They are barely 15 to 17 million. They are not a powerful nation. And they fit the prophecy for the Jews or Judah that it says in the book of Zephaniah that they would be given a place on the coast over there on the eastern part of the Mediterranean. Now, here is a blessing that was given, because remember the blessing that was given to Jacob, that he would inherit the finest places of the earth, the dew of the heaven, the deep beneath, the treasures underneath, that they would be chasing their enemies, that they would have the gates of their enemies, they would have wealth, they would have power, they would be a blessing to the whole world. And just think about this. In the end time, the 10 tribes of Israel constitute United Kingdom, United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and some of the democracies of Northwestern Europe. Now, take those people and subtract them from the earth. Is not the earth totally filled with curses and no blessings? Who brings freedom? Who brings understanding? But the people of Israel. And here's why. Now, we're going to focus in on two. We're going to focus in on Joseph and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and the blessing that was given here in Genesis 48. Let's pick it up here in verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, so there's a blessing to Joseph, then a blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, blessed the lads, his grandchildren, and let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Not a little teeny nation, just a little sliver of real estate, and the only way they're able to keep it is put up a wall and shoot everybody that dares to come through. And so then Israel put his right hand on Ephraim the younger instead of Manasseh the firstborn, And Joseph was kind of upset at that, and Joseph wanted Jacob to change his hand. And verse 19, and his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He shall also become a people. He shall also be great. Now, question, what is the greatest nation on earth today in the end time? United States of America. And then you add into that United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Now, South Africa was part of the British Commonwealth. It still is. However, as we will see, that is one of the first nations of the tribes of Israel to suffer the curses for going against God. And we'll talk about that a little later when we get there. But notice, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And of course, the British Empire was greater than America. But they lost it, as we will see, because of sin. And his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Now then, all the rest of the sons wanted to know, well, what's going to happen to me? So Genesis 49, we have the blessing given to all the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Now, verse 1. Let's notice what this says. This is a very important thing because this gives us identifying factors, and it also helps us to understand something that the Bible always said. You shall know them by their fruits. In other words, what is the evidence? Now, if you go onto our website, there is a click-through for a book entitled The 10 Lost Tribes of Israel Found. So if you want more of the detailed information, go on our website, cbcg.org, and go to that click-through. It'll show you where you can purchase the book. And it goes through all the details of it, and so therefore the information will be available. But for the purpose of this sermon, I'm not going to go through all of that. So Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So this was a prophecy going clear down to our time. When all the nations of Israel had settled in the lands, because they were promised all the lands of the Canaanites. Well, all the lands of the Canaanites were not right there in the area called Palestine. They were in North America. And as a matter of fact, when they first, the ones from Europe and England especially coming over here, and they saw the land and they saw the blessings, you know what they said? They said, this is new Cana. Because they understood the Bible. Falls in the last days. Now let's come down here to verse 22 because we want to focus on Jacob all the way through. Because in talking about this immigration problem, we are going to see it is not a political solution. There are reasons for the immigration problem being as bad as it is, and you are going to be surprised why. Now, verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over. The archers have sorely grieved him. This means that he's had war. As Doris was commenting here, you know, ever since America has started, they've had wars. You know, Indian Wars, Revolutionary Wars, War of 1812, Spanish-American War, and so forth. But we've always prevailed, shot at him, and hated him. Question, what nations on earth today are hated? Number one, America. Number two, Britain. Number three, Australia. Number four, Canada. And by the way, they all have immigration problems. Verse 24, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now, here's something you need to understand. God promised in an irrevocable promise to Abraham that he would fulfill his will. Part of the blessings that we're reading of here are an extension of that promise that God gave to Abraham, which he gave to Isaac, which he gave to Jacob, and Jacob is passing it on here. Now, another thing to understand. God's irrevocable promise means this. In spite of the evil of the descendants of Israel, that God corrects for their evil, he still promised that he would fulfill it. So it has to be fulfilled. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now that's probably the stone that's underneath the coronation chair of the King and Queen of England. Even the God of your father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie under, blessings of the breast and blessings of the womb. Now notice this, verse 26. And the blessings of your father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 33 and let's see some more of this blessing that was given to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And let's see how this can only apply to the nations that we have mentioned, and in particularly now, the United States of America, because it is the leading nation of the 10 tribes of Israel now, having within its borders many of the descendants of all the 12 tribes of Israel. Deuteronomy 33. This is the blessing that Moses gave, which is also an extension of that blessing. Now, I want you to think about this. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that couches beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and the precious things brought forth by the moon. For the chief things of the ancient mountains, what is that? Coal, iron, oil, gold, silver, copper. And where are the two largest copper mills in the world? Copper mines. One in Canada and one in Utah, in the United States of America. Where are the jewels found? South Africa and also Canada. They found a huge, unbelievable diamond find in Canada. And they take them out by the tons every day. Gold, wealth, power. And what are we called today? The most powerful nation on the earth. And the whole world hates us for it, don't they? Yes, indeed. Let's continue now. And for the precious things of the lasting hills, for the precious things of the earth, the fullness thereof, look, we have so much food we don't know what to do with it. And we've been a blessing to the whole world by giving it to the world, right? God has used Joseph to stop the forces of evil in this world. And God intervened for the Allied forces in World War II and stop Germany and stop Japan from their super secret weapons, atomic bombs, jet planes, rockets. They almost started to get the edge with the rockets, and then lo and behold, a miraculous bomb went right down the smokestack of the underground factory in Germany where they were making the V-2 rockets and blew it. and God sent the weather. Just like this all started in the last days with the translating of the Bible by William Tyndale into English, and then up through the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. And from that time, God took all the wealth that the Spanish had taken and transferred it to England. The Armada that the Spanish sent up there was absolutely destroyed by a miraculous storm, a storm that has never, ever been repeated, a double low of such intensity that it just destroyed all the ships. Spain has never recovered, because that was the beginning of the fulfillment of this, and from that time forward went the British Empire. From that time forward went the beginning of the United States of America. And for the goodwill of him that dwells in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory shall be like the firstborn or firstling of his bullocks, and his horn shall be like the horns of a unicorn, which is one of the national symbols of England, by the way. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. Now these are world powers. This is what it's talking about. Have the British and Americans done this? Yes. Question. Have the Chinese done this? No. Have the Russians done this? No. Have the Germans done this? No. Every time they tried to, God cut them right down, didn't he? Yes. Has Africa succeeded in this? Hasn't even tried. How about South America? No. See, it only applies to the nations that we have mentioned here. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Quite a fantastic and marvelous thing that has happened here with all of this when we understand it. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 30. And let's see the perpetual covenant that God has set before. Now, this is not talking about the church. This is talking about the physical nations, because we need to understand God deals with the physical nations on earth, and that he judges the nations. The nations that do righteously, he will bless. The nations that do not righteously or sin, to commit evil, he will correct. Now, here's what he set before all Israel. Verse 15. See, I set before you this day life and good, death and evil. And why is it that the countries that I've mentioned, we'll just call modern Israel today, why is it that modern Israel has the whole complete Bible? Why is it that in modern Israel, only of all the nations of the world, the gospel is being preached, even though there is a mixture of false gospel and things like that? But you take away the United States of America, and there's no word of God going out into the world anyplace. Now he says, here's the choice. And this is key to what the problem is on the immigration today. And you're going to be absolutely dumbfounded to know the reasons for it. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live. Now you see, what is Protestantism turned into? Oh, you don't have to keep the commandments of God. The law is done away. Turning your back on God. Claiming the promises of God, yet living in their sins. Having a lawless grace, which leads to the kind of society that we have now. To walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. Now, did God bless the United States of America? Yes, he did. But if your heart turn away, here is the key. And we're going to see that is the whole key as to why we're in the problems we are in now. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear and that you shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you go to possess it, over Jordan to possess it. See? Now we've come across the Atlantic Ocean, a little bit further than crossing the Jordan. Verse 19. How sure are the words of God? Listen to this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Which means what? Heaven is still here. The earth is still here, right? Yes, indeed. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God with all, and may obey his voice, and may cleave unto him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 28, because this tells us that there, Deuteronomy 28, this tells us how these choices are going to work out. God spells it out even more. And here is a thing that people cannot understand. Everyone wants the blessings. Everyone wants the good things. They want to have food. They want to have clothing. They want to have cars. They want to have homes. They want to have peace. They want to have families. They want everything to go well. But they don't want God in their lives. Now, you can't have both. Because God did not make it that way. Everyone wants the blessings that are listed here in the first part of Deuteronomy 28. So let's read just a little bit of it, and then we'll summarize it. It shall come to pass, if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now understand this. Everything that is written in the Bible are the words of God. So hence, it is the voice of God. To observe to do all his commandments, not just the ones you agree with, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God shall set you high above all nations of the earth. Now, let's understand this. When America first started, how did they start it? What was the basis of their government? The basis of their constitution? But the word of God and principles from the Bible, correct? Yes. And how did people get their education? They had a Bible. That's what they read. Now, granted, there were still sinners there. But in Maine, the ones that not in Maine, because there's a state of Maine, and I don't want people to get mixed up with the state of Maine, but for the most part, this is how people lived. Even though they didn't keep the Sabbath, they kept Sunday, and Sunday, as we have already covered before, was the leaven that was the Achilles heel that caused them to go wrong, because if you don't keep the Sabbath, you don't know God, and you are not sanctified by him. So, here are all these blessings that God gave. God fulfilled his part. But the people didn't. And I never will forget this Christian Jew. And he's writing to Jews. And he said, beloved, he said, all of you want the promises of God, the blessing. But I want you to understand something. See, because the Jews are scattered into the world, they aren't even a nation, they can't possibly fulfill the prophecies that we read here earlier. See? And they want to know, why don't we have our temple? Why are we not in our land? So he explained to them about Deuteronomy 28. And he said, I want you to understand, half of the promises of God are curses. And he told them, Jew to Jew, and because we have rejected the Messiah, we are scattered to the four winds of the earth. So, everyone wants a blessing. Verse 2 now, back to Deuteronomy 28. All these blessings shall come on you and shall overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Then you're going to be blessed in everything, in the city, in the field, the fruit of your body, of the ground, of your cattle, increase of your kind and flocks. Blessed shall be your basket, your store. You'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. Cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten. You go against them one way, they'll flee before you seven ways. God will command a blessing upon your storehouses and all that you set your hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you, and the Lord shall establish you as a holy people to himself, as he has sworn, if, verse 9, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. And all the people of the earth say, oh, we want to be like Americans. We want to be like Britons. What are they saying? You're God's people. And they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, fruit of your body, fruit of your cattle, fruit of your ground in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give to you, which was the ground he was standing on, and to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west. And that means in the final, at the end time, inheritance that he gave to the children of Israel. He'd send them rain. Last part of verse 12. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Now mark that. That's very important. We were a lending nation until 1982. Now, we are the world's greatest debtor nation. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Verse 13, the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, you shall not be beneath. If that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods and serve them. That's the key. Keeping the commandments of God. Now, if you keep Sunday, you're not keeping the Sabbath, correct? So that takes care of it with Catholics and Protestants, doesn't it? And if you preach messages from the Bible that are not according to the Word of God, but sound like it's from the Word of God, and you say, God says so, what are you doing? You're taking the name of God in vain. That doesn't mean just swearing. Yes, swearing is part of it, but that's a far lesser thing than taking the name of the Lord God in vain, because if you say the Lord says and the Lord has not said, then you're taking his name in vain. You're misrepresenting him. When Protestants say that the laws and commandments of God have been done away, they're taking the name of God in vain. When Catholics have idols and statues and crucifixes and great cathedrals, they're breaking the second commandment. And that's why in their Catechism listing of the Ten Commandments, they remove the second one. Now, what does all of this do? If you go backward from the ten, from the fourth commandment back to the first, what happens because you're breaking the 2, 3, and 4? You have another God before you. And what is the first instant of knowing that you have another God before you when a false Christianity moves in? They change the nature of God. And if you change the nature of God, you are worshiping a false god. Most people don't understand that. Now then, look at what we've done here in America and Britain. We've gotten rid of God in the schools, in the government, in the public square. Even chaplains in the armed services cannot pray in the name of Jesus. They are hypocritical toward God. They kick him out everywhere. The Supreme Court has kicked him out everywhere, which means the Supreme Court is sitting in the seat of God to tell God to go away and upheld as the law of the land. Now you think about that. Look at the sin that has taken place because of it. Now then, let's read verse 15, or we'll read some of these other verses, because this will tell us what is happening. And I want you to think about the country. When I read these things, I want you to think about what is in the news. I want you to think about what is happening. Okay? But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, as I go through and read the rest of these, ask yourself the question, in my town, in my city, in my state, in my region, in my capital city of my state or region or province, is this true? What is the most cursed city in America but Washington, D.C.? Let that be a lesson. Now listen. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. What do we have? Mad cow disease? Bird flu? Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, for to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. Now, let's think about what is happening. Now remember, this comes step by step by step by step by step. Now for those of us who are over 70, we can look back and we can think back into the late 40s and 50s. Wasn't anything like it is today. When I was grew up, for 4 years, we lived out on a farm, and I could go out in the field. I could go to my neighbor's walk through his field. Didn't have to worry about me stealing anything. Didn't have to worry about me chasing his cows or his horses. Today, you cannot even enter into the field and glean a tomato off a tomato vine, lest you be arrested for stealing. That's just one little instance there. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave to you. Do we have a lot of sickness and disease? Oh, yes. What's the major problem in America? Sickness and disease. Medicare's going broke. Drugs are costing great fortunes. They have sicknesses and diseases that cannot be healed, just like he talks about here. Verse 22, you shall be smitten with consumption. That's cancer. With fever. With inflammation, with extreme burning, with the sword, which is war, with blasting, have we had winds, with mildew, have we had floods and hurricanes? Right while I speak, we have a drought developing in South Texas, moving all the way up through the Great Plains at the same time that it's flooding in Northeast America. The heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under it shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you. Think about the Dust Bowl days. And that's exactly what it was. That was one of the hands of God's correction for America at that time. And then what followed? World War II. Now, we're in the same cycle again this year. What's going to happen? What is the end of it going to be? And if we have a great drought going up through the Midwest where they grow all the corn, what's going to happen to all the great plans to solve our oil crisis by having ethanol? And the corn doesn't grow. See, there's no way you can get around God. Now, you might think you can for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. And then he says here, let's come down here to verse 27, the Lord shall smite you with the botch of Egypt. What's one of the things that mosquitoes carry now? West Nile virus? With hemorrhoids, with the scab, with the itch, wherewith you cannot be healed? How many commercials you see on television covering all these things? The Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness. How many people have to wear glasses? Madness, what's another derivative of madness for older people? Alzheimer's disease. Astonishment of heart. You shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. And we're going to find that the aliens and the strangers in the midst of us are going to execute that against us. And the demonstrations that we had just last month are a foretaste of what is coming. And the politicians, as we will see, God has given over to a spirit of stupidity, a spirit of subversion, as a penalty upon them, because God is going to bring these curses. Now let's come over here to verse 44. I want you to read all the way through there. Put in your notes Leviticus 26 and read that as well. The stranger that is within you, that means within your gates. Now, how many strangers are in America today who have not assimilated? Now, let me read you what Theodore Roosevelt said in 1907. You compare that with what President George Bush is saying today and what the politicians are saying today. One day they vote, everybody's got to speak English. The next day they say, no, we can't have that. See? But the way you divide and destroy a nation is you have aliens come in, and they're flooding over. It is an invasion that do not assimilate, that do not learn the language, that do not know the Constitution, that do not know the laws of the land, that have no understanding of the Bible, that have come from a lawless country where murder, kidnapping, thievery, bribery, selling dope and drugs is a way of life, and they are taking America down, and the politicians are brain dead because God has given them brain deadness. So it doesn't matter who you vote for. It's going to happen. Now here's what Teddy Roosevelt said. In the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith, now illegal alien is not in good faith. He is an enemy. And if you don't believe that this whole movement from South America coming up through Mexico is the movement of the enemy, you get your daily paper and you read the English translation of the what is that? The the national anthem. And when you read that, you will see it's a declaration of war. Because they are here to reclaim half of California, all of Arizona, all of New Mexico, the southern fourth of Utah, the southern third of Colorado, and all of Texas, because they are taught in their schools that America stole it from them when God gave us the victory to defeat them. But just like ancient Israel of old, when God gave them the victory to defeat them, and they allowed the enemy within to stay, God says it's going to be a thorn in your flesh. So they didn't come in good faith. Who comes here in good faith, becomes an American, assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else, for it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon the person's becoming in every facet an American. Nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. And what did we see on the first days of the demonstrations for rights for illegals? Mexican flags, Cuban flags. Didn't we? Yes. They're not Americans. They're illegal aliens, and they don't want to assimilate. And if they give any assimilation outside of deporting every one of them, which would be hard to do, and the politicians don't have the backbone to do it, and we don't have the armed forces to enforce it, and a court would declare it illegal anyway, because as soon as something like that happened, the ALCU would immediately file a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court, who has five judges that you know would vote that way. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear who they are, because you know who they are. Couldn't be done. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he is an American but something else also isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room for but one language here, and that is the English language. We have room for but one sole loyalty, and that is a loyalty to the American people, and you should add to it the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They are not even required to learn it. Now, stranger that is with you, within you shall get up very high above. Have you ever tried calling a government bureau? I have had to ask for someone who speaks English. Look at who's running your city councils, your policemen, your postmen, and the Border Patrol, yes. The head of the Border Patrol just conveniently called the Mexican authorities to let them know where the Minutemen would be. His name is Martinez. Wonder if there's any connection there. You shall come down very low. That's going to happen. We are at the turning point where this is beginning. Now, let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Now let's continue on in verse 41. Let's finish up here. How are you going to be brought down very low? It says, you shall come down very low. Well, think about this with the 10 to 15, maybe 20 million illegal aliens right here in America. If they approve what they are proposing in Congress, within 15 years, that will bring the total number of aliens into America to 200 million and will totally change this country. you're seeing prophecy fulfilled before your very eyes as you are watching television, listening to the talk shows, and reading the newspapers. Now, verse 44, he shall lend to you and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. This is going to take place step by step by step. We owe trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Federal debt, state debt, non-government agency debt, personal debt in mortgages. And guess who is sitting holding all of these? The foreigners, our enemies. And we are sitting here with a debt crisis that the time bomb is ticking and it is going to happen. And it will start when these countries who have been buying U.S. Treasury securities refuse to buy them. And this is because the United States Congress, in the forming of the Federal Reserve and in every other nation of the world, they have done this. The central bank is a privately held corporation, though it sounds like it's a federal agency, and they control the money. And you take out any denomination of American dollars and you will read, this note is for all debt, private and public. It's a note. It is an IOU. And it's only going to last as long as the psychology of it holds up. We owe more than any nation in the history of the world, and we have sold them to our enemies. And guess who holds the greatest number of them? China. Yes, indeed. So you've got that from without. Right now, we have the immigration problem within. Come to verse 52. No, let's finish verse 45 first. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed. Step by step by step by step by step. See? And if there is not repentance, if there is not turning around, and I'll tell you what the solution will be here. If there is any solution to delay it, you're not going to stop it. You're not going to get rid of it. The best you could do is delay it for a while. I'll tell you what that is in a little bit. Here's the whole cause. Because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be for a sign and a wonder upon your seed forever. So you look around the world and see upon whom this is coming. Of the prosperous nations of the world, and you will know exactly where Israel is today. Now verse 47, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Then he says, you're going to serve your enemies. Now verse 52. He shall besiege you in all your gates. Think about the demonstrations that you saw. Times that by 10 in 10 years. And they will shut down every city, every highway, every store, everything in one day. Now then, until your high and fence walls come down. Isn't it interesting? What are they proposing along the border? A wall. See, a wall won't make any difference if you don't obey God. You can have all the walls you want. You can build them clear to heaven. But if you don't love God and keep his commandments, It ain't gonna work. Now you build a fence and you legalize 20 million illegal aliens and they bring all their relatives. Or do like some of them do. The wife comes to America pregnant, has the baby, who then is a legal American citizen, and then the husband can come. See? You think about it. Now notice. Your fence walls come down or become useless, wherein you trusted throughout all your land, and he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord has given you. When they do that, there will be famine in a week. All your abundance is going to be gone. Not going to be able to drive. And if you're seen walking, you have to have a permit. And you will go into the tomato fields and the lettuce fields and the orchards. And they will command you to harvest the crops. And they won't be kind like we are. They will beat you and starve you. And you will have nothing left, because it says here in verse 53, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall distress you. And if you don't believe that is true, read the book of Josephus on the account of the destruction of Jerusalem in 585 B.C. and in 70 A.D. Exactly what happens. See, most people think they can get away with breaking the laws of God, but you never can. They will break you. Most people think that they can be exempt from the curses of God, but you cannot, unless you obey God. And if you live in a land where they are, then you end up being the small remnant. Now let's go to Isaiah the first chapter and let's see. Isaiah the first chapter. Now there are two remnants, which we'll talk about here, because it mentions the remnant. Isaiah 1. Let's pick it up here, beginning in verse 2. Beginning in verse 2. Now again, I want you to notice the similarity in how God deals with this. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Now you go back and read what Jesus said about his word in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13 and in Luke 21. He said what? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So you're standing on terra firma, correct? You're on the earth. That's witnessing to you. Every step you take on the earth is a witness against you. Every breath you breathe is a witness against you, because you look up into the heavens and where does air come from? The atmosphere, that's the first heaven around the earth. See? And when I fly to go someplace, I come in from heaven. From 35 or 40,000 feet. Heaven and earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished, I have brought up children, they have rebelled against me. Now you see, all through the history of Israel, they've always done this. But in the end time comes the great climax of it all. The fulfillment of the promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the fulfillment of the curses that God would bring upon them. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. So God looks down at this and all that's going on, the murders, the rapes, the robbery, the kidnapping, the shootings, the stabbings, the lying, the cheating. And God looks down here, you know, just look at your news and see all that goes on. See? It talks about it in another place that wild animals will get you. Well, just last week, four people were killed and eaten by alligators in Florida. And one man, his family was sitting on the porch, an alligator came up to go after his dog, so he got his gun and killed it. And he was arrested for hunting without a license. Shows the insanity and stupidity of it all. Okay? So God looks down from heaven and he says, verse 5, why will you be stricken anymore? Do you like all of this? You like all the sin, all the sickness, all the disease? Do you like your way of drugs? You like all of your children corrupted in your government schools to where all they are sex toys for each other and flesh for the homosexuals? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, and that's where it's headed. Your cities are burned with fire. That's what's going to happen. Your land, strangers devour it and possess it in your presence. I foresee this. When we have an economic crisis, all the foreigners who hold the mortgages are going to come and kick the American people out of their houses and put their own people in there. Because who owns the mortgage owns the home. And it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and is a lodge in a garden of cucumbers as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. Now we need to think about that for just a moment. This means that in Israel today, there are some few people that are giving witness to the political insanity that's going on. But they aren't heard. There is a small remnant of people called the Church of God who are keeping the commandments of God. Only, unfortunately, too many of them are caught up in the sins of the world and have become Laodiceans. Now, the only saving grace that is left is this, especially for America. It is the only place in the world where the gospel is being preached in some form or other. It's not coming out of China, it's not coming out of Russia, it's not coming out of Germany, it's not coming out of the UK, not coming out of Italy, not coming out of South America, coming out of America, United States of America, somewhat a little bit in Canada, it's not coming out of Australia, not coming out of Japan, it's not coming out of Africa, it's not coming out of India, it's not coming out of any of the Muslim nations. Only in America. So that's the other half of the remnant. We should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. God then says to repent. Let's see that here. Now then he describes all of their vain religious things. And isn't it interesting? 79% of Americans say they believe in God. But 60% of them have been divorced and remarried. 50% of them commit adultery, men and women. That many or more are hooked on pornography. How many are hooked on drugs? How many lives have been ruined with drugs? Yet we claim to be religious. Every time a disaster happens, what do they say? God bless America! They don't repent. Here's what God says. Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. For your hands are full of blood. Now we're going to see what kind of blood this is in just a little bit. Not only here in America, but the whole world. See, because God is going to judge the whole world too. First of all, he judges his people Israel. Then he judges the world. Here's what he says. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. From before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead with the widows. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool if you are willing and obedient. You shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. Now notice this next sentence. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's sure to come to pass. Now let's come to the book of Jonah and let's see what has to happen here. Let's see the only thing that would delay it. And then we'll go back and look at some more of the cause. And then we will see is that possible? Is it going to happen? Is it going to take place? Jonah, the third chapter. God sent Jonah to warn the people of Nineveh. Now, I hope that there are a lot of ministers of God giving warning. And I hope even in any of the Sunday-keeping churches, because God said that even if the false prophets would preach his word, he would make it good. I hope they're standing in their pulpits telling people to repent. Now, I'm sure there are some who are trying to do that. However, here's what has to happen. Jonah came, verse 4, Jonah 3, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, yet the children of Israel won't. That's why this is here. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger, that we perish not? Now, on a scale that needs to be done in this nation, what has to happen? The President of the United States has got to stand up and proclaim something just like this. I command all the government employees, the Senate, the Supreme Court, and all the people of the land, all the governors of all the states, we declare a fast and repent to God. and we are going to keep the laws of God henceforth. All you churches shall go in there, destroy every idol that's in your church. All of you who are ministers and preachers will preach the Word of God. We will reject Sunday keeping and keep the Sabbath. We will reject Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all the pagan holidays. We will keep God's feast. We will demand of every citizen that he be honest. Everyone who's caught with drugs as a dealer will be summarily executed upon being caught. Everyone will have forgiveness at this point, but if you transgress from beyond there, we are going to be very harsh and severe in our execution against it. Guess what that would do? That would stop the flow of illegal aliens immediately. But that won't happen, because there's another debt that is to be paid. Let's come back here to Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. Jeremiah 5. Let's see as it is today. This was back then. It's a prophecy for us today. Jeremiah 5 and verse 7. No, let's go back to verse 5. I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they know the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. There is not one in all of the federal government who truly, truly, truly is preaching the way of God. Not one. And as I mentioned before, the most cursed city in America is Washington, D.C., the capital of America. Wherefore, a lion out of the forest will slay them, and a wolf in the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goes out from there shall be torn to pieces. Now, this is not just the animals, but this is also likening people to those animals. Because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me. They sworn by them that are no gods. When I fed them to the full, have we not been fed to the full as a nation? Yes. Then they committed adultery. Do we have all kinds of sex sins? Yes. And what's another derivative of sex sins? We are going to see a major cause for all of the immigration problems that we have. And assembled like themselves by troops at harlot, in the harlot's houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. They neighed everyone after his neighbor's wife. God says, shall I not visit for these things? Yes. Come over here to chapter 6 and verse 15. Let's go back to verse 13. For from the least of them unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. No moral standard at all, to say nothing concerning the laws of God. You can't even have them in the public square. You can't even preach them to those who are sinning, because it is a hate crime and you offend their poor little sensitivities. But they can kill you, they can sue you, they can come after you and make your life absolutely miserable. From the prophet unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Now come down here to verse 18. Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation that is among them, the remnant of the people of God. Hear, O earth. That's the witness. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, all the evil and wickedness and pornography and murder and hate and drugs and any other crime you want to add in there, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, but rejected it. Come here to chapter 7. Now, Jeremiah, who was a priest, had quite a task to do. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the words of the Lord, all you of Judah, and to enter in to these gates to worship the Lord. Now try this. Stand outside beside some Sunday-keeping church, and whether it doesn't matter if it's Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox, it doesn't make a bit of difference, and say these words. Stand outside the Congress of the United States and say these words. Stand outside the Supreme Court of the United States and say these words. Stand outside Buckingham Palace and say these words. Stand there outside the number 10 Downing Street and say these words. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Behold, you trust in lying words. And virtually every word that comes out of the mouth of the politicians is a lie. Doesn't matter what his name is, his party affiliation. Same way with religion. Oh, we're comfortable in our religion. God bless us. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm an evangelical. I'm a Catholic. I'm a good person. But how come you have so much crime in your city if that is so? Saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. If you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever. They didn't do that. Verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words. How many times did he say that? Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations because we have freedom of expression, and the Constitution guarantees it. Now, let me tell you one of the major reasons for the immigration problem that we have. It's called abortion. I've got the stats, which I'm going to mail out with this tape. United States, guess how many abortions were committed between 1973 and 1999 in America alone. Got the stats for the whole world. Make a guess. How many abortions? That's 26 years. 40 million. Killing the most innocent. And in the repentance, the president should order every governor to immediately and forthwith shut down all abortion clinics. That's 1.5 million babies each year. That's 28,000 babies every week. That's 4,000 babies every day. The most innocent. And as I wrote in the book that's coming out, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, oh, we could look at the people who have human sacrifice and say, oh, how terrible that was. How the Mayan priest would go up these huge pyramids and have their victim up there and cut out their heart right while it was bleeding, hold it up into the air and then drink the blood, and we say, what a terrible people that is. And I wrote, today we have the same thing. It's called abortion. The abortion clinic is the temple. The abortion table is the altar. And the doctor who performs it is the high priest. Now, how many have been since then? Total number? 47 million. How many illegal aliens have come to America when you add up the amnesty given in the 1980s? And then what they're proposing now? It's almost 1 for 1. Because if all of those babies had been born, we would have the workforce. We would have the blessing. There would be no need for them to come here. God would not send them as an invading army for the punishment of our sins. He would give us the capacity to help them in their own country instead. And furthermore, we would not have any deficit spending, and we would not be in debt. Now, I'm going to put all of these out here because we're going to show that God is going to judge the whole world on this. Let me ask you a question. Guess how many abortions have been committed in the People's Republic of China since 1971, when they instituted the program, one child, and everyone wanted a boy. Now they have a homosexual problem and an AIDS problem in China that is about ready to explode like there has never been anything on the earth. God is going to judge China in His time, but He judges His people first, and the hand of God's judgment is now upon America, and America better wake up. Guess how many? Through October 2005, 299,246,000. Brutal and evil. The heyday of Satan to kill innocent life. Guess how many have been aborted, the total of all nations worldwide through October 2005. 944,935,000. And I tell you this, that if they all had been born, God would have provided food for them. You can rest assured. Now then, let's look at another thing, why this nation won't repent. Let's come to Hosea the 4th chapter, and let's see what happened. Because we have a young generation coming up that knows nothing of God, taught nothing of God, taught nothing about the Word of God, the laws of God, the commandments of God. They are raised on cartoons, fed on Similac when they're babies, filled with all kinds of shots to make them sick and incompetent, given an education which is a brainwashing unto dumb robots, unto slavery for the enemy to come in and take them. They're raised on MTV, sex education beginning in kindergarten, to talk about homosexuality. So we have a whole population of children coming from school. And right here in Hollister, I see them every day pass by. They have mainline right to Satan the devil with their iPods blasting with the music. They go home and they watch MTV. They go online and they get into pornography. They take their cell phone, they call their friends, say, come on over, let's have some oral sex. Thank you, President Clinton. No parents home. Because, you see, women have got to express themselves and have a career. Now, let me just tell you, in a 10-year period where they kept statistics on oral sex, it went up from 16% among males to 32%. Went up from 14% to 38% among females. Read. Hosea 4. God has a controversy. Now, we know the nation isn't going to repent. But I tell you one thing. Everyone who hears this message, you better repent. And if you happen to be a member in the Church of God, and you're laid back, and you're Laodicean, and you're lazy, and you don't pray, and you don't study, the hammer of God's correction is going to come upon you, and you will not escape. You need to understand that. We are in training for eternal life. We're in training to rule the world, and if you act like a homeless, shipless bum, instead of a son or daughter of God, God is going to judge you for that. Now, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. You can hardly get the truth anywhere. And if someone dares speak the truth, they're taken off television, taken off radio. Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. We kicked them out everywhere by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery and all the abortion of those poor innocent lives. They break out and blood touches blood. Now you think about what it says there in Ezekiel 7. It says, make a chain for the bloody crime. And what does that all get back to? Leviticus 19:29. Do not prostitute your daughter and make her a whore, lest the land be filled with wickedness and violence. So when you take the women and you give them freedom and say, have sex anywhere, and you can take a pill, or you can have an abortion, and you're better than men. You see, the women's movement does not want equal rights. They want all the rights of a woman, all the rights of the men, and stick the men right in the eye and say, stuff it. Well, God's going to take care of them. And you look at some of those, you look at those evil women that stand for the abortion. You just look at them. They are evil and cruel. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells therein shall languish with the beast of the field and the fowl of heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea shall be taken away. Down here, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Now, those are pretty tough words, aren't they? The only way you can get back from that rejection is repent. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Wherefore, I will change their glory into shame. And they shall eat up the sin of my people, and they shall set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like the priest, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom, but not increase, because they've left off to take heed unto the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart, and add in their drugs. We have a young generation of mindless people that have been taught nothing, that know nothing, that have blown their minds and their emotions and their sex organs, as it were, to take the hedonistic way of living as they have been taught right in their very schools. Now, verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stock, and their children declare, and their staff does declare unto them. They don't go to God. They ask some totem pole. The spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. They have gone a-whoring from under their God. Now, let's come to Hosea 8. Hosea 8. No, Amos 4. Beg your pardon. Let's go to Amos 4. Amos 4. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. I have also given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. That's coming. And want of bread in all your places. That's coming. Yet you have not returned to me. I have also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the heavens, to the harvest. That's in motion right now. I've caused it to rain upon one city, caused it not to rain upon another city. We have drought in the southwest. We have floods in the northeast. One piece is rained upon, the other piece whereon it rained not withered. Two or three cities wandered into one to get water, but they weren't satisfied. Verse 9. Now I want you to recall Deuteronomy 28. I've smitten you with blasting and mildew. What is blasting? Hurricanes. How many did we have last year? Tornadoes. We had in one day 265 tornadoes. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig tree and your olive tree increased and the palmer worm devoured it, yet you've not returned to me. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. You young men I've slain with the sword. I've taken away your horses. I've made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned unto me, says the Lord. I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a brand plucked out of the fire, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will do unto you, O Israel, America, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand. And because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. The day of judgment and reckoning is at hand. Will you turn? Will you repent? Will you give up your hedonistic ways? Will you give up your fornication, your perversion, your homosexuality, your drugs? You're lying, you're cheating, you're murders. Will you give up rejecting God, rejecting the Word of God? Will you come humbly before God on your knees? All you have to do is go someplace and get on your knees and repent and ask God to give you the strength and determination to do what is right. And then you'd need to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Because I tell you, unless you do that, all the judgments that we read of are coming upon you in great proportion, and it is going to happen, and it's not very far down the road. Remember, the heavens and the earth, you can see the land and you can see the sky, know that the words of God are true, and they are going to come to pass. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, Wilro, Park, postal code 1731, United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, postal code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.